In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the Feast of the Holy Family, as I said, and it is a customary day on which to review the Church's teaching concerning the family. It was instituted by Pope Benedict XV for that reason. In the Holy Family, we see certain characteristics which make it, in one sense, a very normal Catholic family, and in another sense, a very special family. But those things which we notice about it are things which we can learn for our own families. And indeed, one of the reasons for our Lord's coming into this world as a child and being in to preach to us can run our own families. For the family is the true Catholic school. More than any other institution, the family is where children learn how to be Catholics. The first characteristic that we notice in the Holy Family is its unity. The Holy Family is united by the sacred bond of marriage. This bond is indissoluble, and the Church has taught this from its very beginning and continues to teach it, and it is the only religion on the face of the earth which maintains that marriage is indissoluble. That is, that once you enter into the marriage bond, it cannot be broken except by death. Divorce, therefore, is a mortal sin. The only time that it is permitted to go through a civil divorce is if, for a serious reason, you must dissolve a civil bond between you and your spouse because of a necessity to separate. But before the council, it was necessary to obtain the permission of the bishop of the diocese even to initiate a civil divorce. It was also necessary to obtain the permission of the bishop of the diocese for two spouses to separate without any consideration of divorce. And without these permissions, it was a mortal sin even to go through those. But whether there was separation or whether a civil divorce was permitted, there was no idea or question or talk of a remarriage. Thereafter, you would have to live your life alone because the marriage bond before God continued to exist. So the idea of divorce with the idea of remarriage is a mortal sin. And similarly, the annulments that are given today by the Novus Ordo for false and spurious reasons are mortal sins. This is divorce under the cloak of religion. And before God, these things are null. And they are blasphemous because they are under the cloak of religion. And it is a mortal sin to observe them, either to observe them for yourselves or to observe them in others. And as I said, it is a mortal sin even to separate without a sufficient reason, a reason that is approved by the Church. A second characteristic of the Holy Family that we notice and which must apply to our own families is that of chastity. The Holy Family lived in perfect chastity. And while this perfect chastity is not required of us, nevertheless, there is in the married state a chastity, a purity. The married state is not a place where immorality is approved of, but there is a morality, a chastity, a purity which pertains to that state. Thus, to practice artificial birth control is a mortal sin. Let that be said. In this world, which drowns itself in artificial birth control. To not follow the laws of nature in marriage is a mortal sin. To procure an abortion is a mortal sin. Even to counsel or aid someone to procure an abortion is a mortal sin and brings down upon the one who procures it and the one who counsels or aids an automatic excommunication from the Roman Catholic Church. To watch seriously impure television or movies is a mortal sin. To permit your children or your wife to dress in a seriously impure manner is a mortal sin. Adultery is a mortal sin. The third characteristic of the Holy Family that we notice, if we contemplate it, is obedience. Saint Joseph was the head of the house, and Our Lady and the Christ child were obedient to him. Such was the will of God, that just as it was the will of God that his only begotten Son should be born in a stable and be a little baby, so it was the will of God that the second person of the Blessed Trinity made man should be subject to Saint Joseph and to Our Lady, and that Our Lady, although superior to Saint Joseph by dignity and sanctity, should be subject to him. And this obedience, based on the law of God, was one of the sources of its order, its peace and tranquility, its beauty. For the obedience of the Holy Family was an image of the obedience of the universe to God, including the universe of the angels, the saints, and human beings, and everything else that God has created. Thus, for a wife to have contempt for her husband's authority is a mortal sin. Let wives be subject to their husbands, as St. Paul says. For a wife to disobey or to be disrespectful to her husband in a serious way is a mortal sin. She must have a deference to the authority of her husband. He is the superior, she the inferior in that relationship of husband to wife. And she owes obedience and respect to her husband. Let that be said in this world that bathes every day in the wickedness of women's liberation. For children to have contempt for their parents' authority is a mortal sin. For children to seriously disobey or to be seriously disrespectful to their parents is a mortal sin. For parents to fail to properly discipline their children is a mortal sin. And I say that in a general way. That is, not every single negligence is a mortal sin. But if in general a parent fails to properly discipline his child, he commits a mortal sin. For thereby he teaches them disobedience, rebellion. Another characteristic of the Holy Family that we must notice is their piety. It was a house of piety. If we think about these three great personages, Saint Joseph, Our Blessed Lady, and the Christ Child, we know that their minds were constantly on the things of God. And it was the will of God that the Christ child in his sacred human nature should learn from the Blessed Virgin Mary how to pray, should learn his piety, his virtues as a man from her, should learn his chastity from her. at her knee. That was the will of God. And therefore we learn from the piety of the Holy Family that to neglect the spiritual upbringing of your children is a mortal sin. To fail to teach your children their catechism is a mortal sin. To fail to bring your children to Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation is a mortal sin. To fail to teach them to pray is a mortal sin. To expose children to the evil influence of the public school or to universities and colleges is a mortal sin. And then the other aspect of the Holy Family that we notice is their poverty. That it was the will of God that He who owns all things, who made all things, should live in abject poverty, together with the most favored and most beloved of heaven, that is, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, that they should have a life of hardship and poverty. That was the will of God. And this is striking to us. Now, God does not require us to live in real and true poverty, as He required His only begotten Son and Our Lady and Saint Joseph. But He does require us to have the spirit of poverty. That is, to be detached from the things of this world in such a way that we would be ready to give any one of them up in order to obey the law of God. That is the spirit of poverty. And unless we have the spirit of poverty, we cannot hope to go to heaven. If we are attached to the things of this world in such a way that we prefer them to God, and we disobey the law of God in order to obtain them or keep them, then we shall go to hell. So it is a mortal sin to lack the spirit of poverty. We should deplore the modern attachment to materialism. People are blinded to the things of God. They are blinded even to natural truths, because they have constantly before their eyes and in their bellies material things. And the only thing that they hold out to their children is a love of material things and the attainment of money and pleasures and power and riches. Women should stay at home and take care of their children. They should not aspire to go out and make a second income so that you can live in a bigger and better house in a better neighborhood. Nor should they aspire to do the same thing because of personal self-fulfillment. Their duty is to their children and to their husband in the home. Even if there should be no children, their duty is to their husband as well. And they should not think that in some way they are not obliged to make a home for their husband. They must. For a woman to drop off her children at a daycare center simply for the purpose of extra money or personal fulfillment is a mortal sin. She is relinquishing her solemn duty to imitate the Mother of God in teaching her children their piety, their goodness, their obedience. For her home is the first and principal Catholic school, and her children will be the worse for it that they have been raised by strangers who are filled with the spirit of liberalism and paganism. and impurity, filled with it. Imagine Our Lady dropping off the little Christ child, maybe 3 or 4 years old, at a daycare center in order that she go out and make a second income for luxuries so that they could live in a nicer neighborhood in Nazareth, or so that she could find self-fulfillment. Imagine this. Yet, nearly all the mortal sins, which I have enumerated here as sins against the family, ultimately against God, but sins of the family, we might say. All of these mortal sins constitute the norm of the average modern family. The typical modern family today is one in which parents and children are filled with the principles of liberalism, in which the wife has contempt for her husband's authority because she is imbued with the wickedness of women's liberation, and in which the children have contempt for their parents' authority. It is a family in which the daily entertainment is dirty television, dirty movies, and rock music. A family in which the parents are using some form of birth control and have been throughout all of their married life. In which the teenage children are leading lives of wanton and profligate impurity, and who, without hesitation, go and procure abortions with the encouragement of their parents, lest there should be embarrassment and the encumbrance, the economic encumbrance of a child. A family in which divorce and remarriage is seen as a viable option, and a family which, in many, if not most cases, divorce and remarriage has already taken place. A family in which the mothers are out working in order to bring in a second income for luxury's sake or for self-fulfillment, to have a career. A family in which debt and overspending is the norm, where there is virtually nothing in the bank. A family in which there is little or no care of religion of any kind, and in which there is often a contempt for things religious. It is a family in which the parents fail to discipline their children, so that at an early age, the children are already brash and obnoxious brats who cannot be controlled and who answer back their parents with a blood-curdling spirit of contempt. We hear this in supermarkets and in public places. And the parents just look at them and shake their heads or do some other foolish and stupid thing. A family in which the children are sent off to public schools and to colleges and universities, where they learn to be know-it-all pagans, and with the sexual habits of dogs. And despite this, despite the fact that they come home as know-it-all pagans and with the sexual habits of dogs, the parents brag about them. My son is a lawyer. He makes $250,000 a year. even though that materialism and that worldly honor was bought with the price of his soul, encouraged by the parents. The Catholic brag would be, my son is spiritually dead, and the money that he is making is a heavy stone around his neck which is dragging him to hell. That's the Catholic brag. And it is a family, the modern family, in which both the mother and the father may be involved in an adulterous relationship on the side. This is the typical modern family, without exaggeration, and in some cases it's worse. Proof of it is the fact that the family that lives in the White House, and which was elected by the American people, conforms to this very image that I have just put forth to you, with the one exception that they are not divorced and remarried. But adultery and everything else goes with it. It is an image of our society. It is deplorable. And if our society has all of the historical marks of decay, decline, and decadence that every empire and every other great nation has gone through in the history of the world, it is because of the breakdown of the family. The state of Hawaii this week legalized marriages between persons of the same sex. It is the beginning of the end. Now all of the states will have to in some way react to that. And do you think there will be the moral strength to say no to that when all public morality and public decency has been abandoned in every other category? No. Soon it will be part of our lives. By the grace of God, we must resist being like such a family. No matter how great the pressure of conformity, the pressure of human respect, the pressure of materialism, the pressure of impurity, we must resist being like such a family. And we must imitate the Holy Family, the unity, the chastity, the obedience, the piety, and the spirit of poverty of the Holy Family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.